Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special shir this evening. This is our annual Yahrzeit shir in memory of Dov Ber Ben Chaim Aryeh, Zichrona Livracha. May his neshama have a continuous aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning that we share. This shir is very special to me. This is Beryl's ninth Yahrzeit, Mindy told me. Me and Aryeh were speaking about it with my husband Moshe, and it's hard to believe that it's 9 years. On the one hand, time goes fast, and on the one hand, time goes slow. And Baruch Hashem, Beryl, from his place in Olam HaEmes, I'm sure sees much nachas from his growing family, Kenai Nahar, and it should be a lot of nachas for you, Mindy, from your children, and Be'ezras Hashem from your grandchildren. And Beryl should continue to be a Meili Tzioshir for all of you from his place in the Olam HaEmes. He is not here anymore in person, but certainly never, ever forgotten, even to his friends. So special, so dear, and even though we usually do the shir in person at your house on Parshas Bahalosha, I think Mindy every year it's Parshas Bahalosha. If it's Beryl's ninth year at site, that means it's my eighth year speaking. I have the tremendous chus every year Mindy invites me. It's a big, big chus to speak in the memory of such an amazing, impactful, special, giving, committed person and Jew. This Torah should be as chus aliyah neshama for Dov Ber Ben Chaim Aryeh, zichrona levracha. May his neshama have an aliyah. I also want to thank everybody for joining in on a Sunday evening, on a beautiful Sunday summer evening. So I've been thinking a lot about this concept since this COVID pandemic began. And today's year is going to be based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Parak Dalet, Mishnah Chof Aleph, Chapter 4, Mishnah 21 in Pirkei Avos. And I've been thinking about this Mishnah a lot since the COVID pandemic began, with the lockdown that began just basically after Purim, and the goings on in terms of Rachman Alatzan, the people that our community has lost, the uncertainty that we all feel moving into the events of the past few weeks, when the world got even crazier than we thought it could be, even more frightening and disturbing. When one opens the news, it's such an unsettling feeling. And we realize that the Ribbon Shalom is in charge, but this Mishnah has been in my mind a lot. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, Perek Dalet Mishnah Chaf Aleph and Perkei Avos. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ha'olam Hazeh Domer LaProzdor. This world resembles the antechamber. This world resembles the antechamber. Bifnei Ha'olam Haba, before the world to come. And Rabbi Yaakov tells you, Haskein Atzmecha BeProzdor. You should prepare yourself in the antechamber. This world is a world of preparation. This is not the real world. Kadesha Tikanes, in order that you shall be able to enter La Tiraklin, so that you should be able to enter into the banquet hall. You know, I imagine if a fetus could speak, I don't think that they can, but if a fetus could speak and a fetus could think, so the fetus would think, this is where I am, this is my world. I am in this world, it's a little cramped in here, it's a little bit dark in here, I don't understand exactly what's going on, I hear some sound, things are muffled, it's not so clear, but this is my world, this is where I am. I get bumped, I get carried around, I don't really understand things with clarity, there's no clear vision, but this is my world. But to that fetus, what they do not understand at that point in utero is that that is not the real world. That is simply the antechamber to enter into this world. And what we have to remember when we see the world around us, in such a state of disarray, in such a state of pandemonium, so much unknown, so much is uncertain. What we have to remember is that this world is an opportunity to prepare ourselves for the next world. This is not the real world. There is a real world, and it is not where we are. I'm going to begin by quoting Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch in his commentary to Pirkei Avos. Rav Hirsch says on Pirkei Avos, okay, 4:21, all of us, says Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, have been invited to the banquet of the King of Kings, but only he who has made himself worthy of this invitation will be admitted to the banquet hall. All of us have been invited to the banquet of the King of Kings. All of us have been invited to the banquet of the Ribbon Shel Olam, but only he who has made himself worthy of the invitation will be admitted to the banquet hall. This world is the vestibule in which to prepare yourself. And so Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch writes, make use of your sojourn here. Make yourself worthy of entering the great hall itself. And sometimes when things are so uncertain, and we really can't understand. We can't understand why some people have a Richos Yamim and Shanim, And some people only have arichos yamim without having arichos yamim. We can't understand why some people are taken so young in the prime of their life. And some people, Baruch Hashem, live ad mea ve'asim shana. When nothing makes sense, I find comfort in remembering that this world is simply the entryway into the world to come. And I not only relate this to the time period in which we are going through, but I think that Beryl was a person who really understood this concept in such a visceral way. Everything he did was preparing his portion in the world to come, from his dedication to the youth minyan, from the smile he always had on his face, from the tremendous simchas hachaim, and anybody who knows him knows that I am not exaggerating, from his bein adam ha-makom to his bein adam ha-chavir, from his oseik b'sar chei tzibur, for his interactions with his family. He was a person who understood, who lived a life by example, that this world is simply the antechamber, and where we're really all doing is birthing ourselves. We're growing here so that we can be birthed and enter the next world. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau teaches us, this Mishnah compares this world to an antechamber. An antechamber is a narrow corridor whose sole purpose, the sole purpose of this world, is to serve as an entryway to the banquet hall. The purpose of this world is not to collect gashmias, and the purpose of this world is not to have manicures, and the purpose of this world is not vacations, and the purpose of this world is not fine steaks. The only purpose this world serves is that it is a passageway to the next world. Our world is a temporary passage, a vehicle that is meant to bring us to the world to come. And Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita writes, when a person realizes this, he attains two important goals. First of all, he relates properly to the vanities of this world. Havel, havalim, hakol, havel. What do we chase after in life? What do we value in life? What do we spend our time pursuing in life? We come to understand that only a fool would waste his wealth, his capabilities, his resources in transforming an antechamber into a beautiful room. The sole purpose of the hallway is to get to the bedroom. The sole purpose of the entranceway is to get into the kitchen. The sole purpose of the stairs down to the basement are to get to the basement. That's not where you want to be. You want to be stuck in the hallway the whole time? Or you want to enter into your bedroom? You want to be stuck in the front entrance or invited into the kitchen? You want to be stuck on the stairs or make your way down to the basement? This world serves one purpose. It's to get us to the next world. Only a fool, says Rav Lau, would waste his capabilities and his strengths on beautifying this world without recognizing that we are really going somewhere else, the main galley. We should not beautify this world, we shall beautify the banquet hall where we will rest for eternity. And therefore, focusing on the antechamber comes at the expense of attending to the banquet hall. Unless that he invests in the antechamber, the more he will be able to glorify and beautify the royal hallway. Furthermore, the Arbar Benel sees an advantage of viewing this world as an antechamber. A person should not view life in this world as an independent, but in an introduction. It is an introduction to a larger reality. Just like the fetus, you cannot say from the vantage point of this world that the fetus's whole existence is when it is in its mother's uterus. That makes no sense. That's ludicrous. It is a passageway into the next world. All the growth that occurs in utero is to bring it to this world. All the growth that occurs in this world is to bring us to the next world. There's a very famous story where Rav Yisrael Meir Lau tells it over, but it's told over many other places as well, that somebody came to the Chofetz Chaim, and he was visiting Radin, and he came to the Chofetz Chaim's home, and he saw that it was such a sparse home, and it was such no fancy furnishings, and it was just the barest bones. And the visitor said to the Chofetz Chaim, "Where are your furnishings?" So the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir Cohen Kagan Zatzal, said to the visitor, "Where are your furnishings?" So the man said, "I'm just passing through Radin. I don't live here. My furnishings are at home." So the Chofetz Chaim said, "My furnishings aren't here either. I too am just passing through Radin. This too is not my home." A person lives with the reality that we must beautify to the greatest extent possible through Maisim Tovim and Torah Mitzvot this world, but it's only to bring us to our eternal rest in the Olam Emes, where everything will be clear. Or from that vantage point, it's not cloudy. It's not murky. Things make sense. Here we don't understand, but there they do. I'm just quoting from Rabbi Lau. Furthermore, he brings something, a very interesting point. The world is an antechamber for everyone. It's a venue for preparation. But the world to come, says Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, will not appear as the same banquet hall to everyone. Every individual's destination is different, dependent upon his behavior. in the antechamber of this world. The antechamber can open up to many destinations, to many different banquet halls. So the banquet hall we will be invited into is not going to be the same for everyone. It depends on how much midos, maisim tovim, mitzvos, and Torah we were involved in down here. And that is the door that will open up for us. And we should live. We should be inspired by it. And anybody who knows Beryl knows that I'm not exaggerating. I'm not being facetious. And it's not a joke what I'm saying. And it is not an untruth. A person should take inspiration from a person who lives with every day with the reality that what can I do to better this world? For my place in the next world. And it brings me a measure of nechama, you should know. It brings me a measure of comfort during this time to remember that I can only do the best I can in this world, making sure that I do the best I can in this world, in order to prepare the most beautiful banquet hall possible, halavai, in the next world. One more nekuda from Avishol Meir Lau. Okay. Avishol Meir Lau says that in Koheles Rabba, Medrash Koheles Rabba, our sages compare this world to a continent and the world to come to an ocean. The sages compare this world to land and the world to come to an ocean. As long as a person is on land, he can gather provisions for the way. So you know you're taking a trip and you're sailing on a ship, and everything you need while you're still on the land, you could amass everything you need. But once you set sail, you can't provide for yourself. You cannot acquire any more provisions. Whatever you have, whatever you prepared on the ship, is what you're going to have as it takes you to sail across the ocean. He must make do with what he prepared once he is sailing upon the water. And therefore, the Medrash says in Koheles Rabba, as quoted by Rabbi Lau, this world is like the land and the next world is like the ocean. Prepare yourself on the land, fill up your ship, your vessel with as much as possible so that when you set sail, you have what we need. And it's such a Mr. Haskell. I think that this pandemic, Rahman al-Atsan, the Rebbein Shalom have mercy on us, and the news after the pandemic, simultaneously with the pandemic, really reminds us of what's important in life. I always remember, I really can't believe it's 9 years. I said to Mindy, you know, our annual shiur is coming up. Is it 7 years? And Mindy said, could you believe it's 9 years? I think we've all learned that really nothing in this world matters besides for living a life that's dedicated to Torah, Ma'isim Tovim, and Mitzvos, and Gemilas Chasadim. Because what else at the end of the day does a person really have to take with them? With what other key can we possibly open the banquet hall in the world to come? All the money and all the gold and all the hevel havalim that sometimes people chase after is not going to help us. I think I say every year, I remember seeing Beryl at the boys' graduation by the bagel table. They graduate Yeshiva South Shore. And as always, he had his characteristic smile. It's not just stam. Evi mekablas kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. It's a dictum of Chazal. It's a person who understood that this world is the land and the next world is the ocean. And if you didn't prepare the ship before you set sail, it's too late. There's no more provisions. There's no more providing for yourself. Whether we are blessed with Be'ezros Hashem arichus shanim, length of years, where in Beryl's case, arichus yamim, the choice of ours is to make every single day truly count. The Gemara tells us, very moving piece in regard to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'm quoting from Maseches Brachos, Chaf Ches Amad Beis. So the Gemara tells us, unbelievable, u'kishachala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'm quoting from the Gemara, which I have right here, Gemara Brachos Chav Ches Amad Beis. Ukeshachala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai fell ill, Nichnasu Talmidav Levakro. His Talmidim came to do Bikur Cholim Levakro. Bikur Cholim. Kevon Sharao Sam Hischil Levchos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw his Talmidim and he began to cry. Amrulo Talmidav, his Talmidim said to him, Ner Yisrael, you are the candle of Israel. All kinds of to'arim, compliments for the God of Hador. You're the Ner Yisrael, you're the candle of Israel. Amud HaYemini, you are the right pillar. Patish HaChazak, you're the strong hammer. Today you would say, the Rosh Kol B'nei HaGoa, the Gaon, the God of Hador. So they are complimenting Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the understanding that he is the leader of the generation. They say, you're the Ner Yisrael, the candle of Israel. You're the Amud HaYemini, you're the right pillar. You're the Patish HaChazak, you're the strong hammer. You're crying? You're sick, why are you crying? Amar lahem, and he said to them, you know I'm crying. Il lifnei melech basar v'dam hayu molichin osi. If they were taking me before a king of flesh and blood, if you had an appointment with a king of flesh and blood, I don't know what king you would want to meet today, but let's say you had an appointment with a very important person, very important political personality. If you had a meeting with a Gadol Hadar, if you had an important meeting with the top doctor, you would feel a sense of anxiety. It says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if they were taking me to meet a king of basar v'dam, flesh and blood, Shahayom kanu mechar bekever, that person of flesh and blood, even if he's the king, even if he's the president, even if he's the prime minister, even if he's the chief court justice, Hayom kanu mechar bekever, he is immortal. Today he's here, tomorrow he's in the grave. She'im ko eis alai ein ka'aso kois olam. If he gets angry at me, he's flesh and blood. It's not eternal wrath. Vim asuruni ein isuru isu olam. And if he imprisons me, he can't imprison me forever because he's man of flesh and blood. Vim misani ein misaso misus olam. And if he puts me to death, it is not forever. What do you mean it's not forever? If someone puts someone to death, it's forever. No. Rashi and the Gemara says le'olam haba. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, even if a king kills me in this world, chalila v'chas, he's not killing me, he's not taking away my olam haba, it's not death forever. V'ani yachol afayso bedvarim, and furthermore, because he's a man of flesh and blood, I could appease him with words. U'l'shachdo b'mamo, not only that, but money talks. I could bribe him with money. Afal pikin, and even though, if you were taking me to meet a person of flesh and blood, who if he imprisons me, it's not forever. If he's mad at me, it's not eternal wrath. If he puts me to death, it's only in this world, not in Olam Haba, says Rashi. And I could pay him off, because who doesn't love money? And nevertheless, Hayisi Bocha, I would be crying. I would feel trepidation. I would still be afraid. Think of a very important meeting you've had in your life. And you feel a sense of anxiety and trepidation. Why? You're meeting a person of flesh and blood. V'achshav, but now, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his deathbed, shemalichim osi lifnei melech malchayim lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are taking me before the King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, shehu chai v'kayam lo'olam ulo'ome olamim. He is chai v'kayam. He is eternal. He is forever. For worlds and all worlds, she'im ko is alai ka'aso ka'as olam. That if the Ribbono Shel Olam Chas V'Shalom has ka'as against me, wrath, it could be forever. V'misuruni isu isu olam. And Chas V'Shalom, if a person, God forbid, is imprisoned in the eternal world, it could be forever. V'imi misani misaso misas olam. And God forbid, it could be eternal death, not in this world, but maybe I won't bask in the Yeshiva Shalmala. Maybe I'm not worthy enough to enter the eternal world of truth and sit and bask in the glory of God. In the eternal world, we're not going to be able to say, could I do it again? I remember that Mindy told me, no matter how Beryl felt after his treatments, the week of the youth minyan, he always got up and he went to lead the youth minyan. One of the last gifts he got was a present from them, a set of sfarim, from the boys of the youth minyan, perhaps if not the last present. Their hakaras hatov for all his dedication. A person has to think to themselves, there are no do-overs when I get to the Yeshiva Shalmala. I can't say, why didn't I do it right the first time? I'm talking to Michal Haaretz. It's terrifying. I cannot appease God with words. V'lo l'shachto b'maman, and I certainly can't appease him with my money. I'm going to take out my jewelry and say, oh, I have a necklace. Can I pay you off? Who cares? V'lo od. Not only that, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ela sheyesh lefanei shnei drachim. There are before me two ways. Achas shel gan eden v'achas shel gehenem. Remember we saw Meir Lau says that the banquet hall for every person is not the same. There's a corridor. The corridor is this world. Imagine that everybody goes through the same corridor, but at the end of the corridor, there are many, many doors that are going to open. And we do not know which door is going to open to us and how beautiful and how grand and how succulent and opulent and godly and divine and ruchniyistik that new world is going to be. I don't know what door is going to open. Depends which path I chose. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you know, there are taka before me, two paths. One of the Garden of Eden and one of Gehenim. Ve'eini yodea be'ezim olichim osi. And I do not know which path they are going to lead me on in the next world. V'lo evka. And I shouldn't cry. That's not a reason to cry. You're asking me why I'm crying. Because I'm about to be birthed My mother proverbially is about to expel me from her canal, from her uterus. My time in utero and preparation and growth is over. And I shouldn't cry, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and I go to the Eternal Word, and I don't know which door is going to be open to me. Lo evka. Amru lo Rabbeinu barchenu. So the Talmidim said, you know, Rabbi, give us a bracha. That's the last bracha. You should steig. Should be a gadol hador. You should grow to be a Talmid Chacham. You should know all of Shas. You should know every Tosfos, every Rashi, every Maharsha. You should know all the halachos, which you should know all the halachos. You should ask shaylos when you have them. You should be a walking Kiddush Hashem. You know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, what was the bracha? Amar lahem, Yehi ratzon wa. You should go out to be a Talmid Chacham. You should know all of Torah off by heart. Yehi ratzon shetehei mora shamayim aleichem kamor basar v'dam. That's it, that's your bracha. That's your parting words, you're on your deathbed. Yehi ratzon shetehei mora shamayim aleichem kamor basar v'dam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, yeah, I have a final message for you. And that is that the fear of heaven should be upon you like the fear of flesh and blood. You should be as afraid of God as you are afraid of other men. We live sometimes to make impressions upon people, the way we dress, the way we do our makeup, the clothing that we choose, the way we set our table. Let's be realistic. Sometimes it's to impress people. Sometimes we're afraid of what other people will think of us. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you know, I have a bracha for you. You know what my bracha is? Would that you fear God the way that you fear man of flesh and blood. Amulo Talmidav. Arkan. Talmidim said, that's your bracha? That's it? You're crying, you're sick, you're about to go up to the next world, and you're telling me that your final bracha is, you should fear God like you fear man. And Rashi says, Arkan Bitima. They say with astonishment, it's a question. Klomer, as if to say, Velo Yoser, Mimar, Basar Vadam, shouldn't we fear God more than we fear man? Rashi, when the Gemara explains it, Talmidim say, that's it? That's your whole bracha? We should fear Hashem like I fear someone else? Imagine you have an important visitor coming to your house. You're Mechatenister for the first time. You know, someone who is Zoch in this community, what is Chos, Tohos, Rav Yisrael Meir Laushlita, a year and a half ago, unbelievable. Of course, I would prepare. Everything would be perfect. I'd be on my best behavior. I would instruct my children to be on their best behavior. Everything would be gleaming and glistening and perfect. I may be not as perfect than when I'm alone in the house, but when I'm alone in the house, there's someone there who's much more important than the chief rabbi. And who is that? Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Talmidim say, give us a bracha. He says, you should fear God like you fear people. That's it? Rabbi, seriously? He says, yes. Teidu. So Amar Lam, he answered them, Ulavai, Halavai. Rashi says, Sheyehei Kimura Basar Adam. Halavai, that you should fear God. Don't worry about fearing God more than you fear man. If only you would fear God at least as much as you feared a fellow man. Sheim Kein Techadlu Me'averos Harbe. If you only feared God the same way you fear, revere, or in awe and trepidation a fellow man, you would stand back, you would withhold, you would stop from doing many averos. That's what Rashi says. Amar lahem ulavai. Teidu kisha adam over avera omer shalo yer any adam. You should know that when a man does a sin, he says, hopefully nobody saw. You know, I just want to make sure nobody saw me doing that. As long as no one saw them, my reputation's okay. How will my children get a shidduch? What will they say about me? I might lose my place in shul. As long as nobody saw, I'm okay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if you can just live up to the madrega of living for the Ribbono Shel Olam, the way we live for other people, and you are making your path into the next world, and you are preparing what the banquet hall will look like when you finish your walkway through the hallway, and you knock on the door, and we don't know what's going to be. If we only live every moment with the realization that this is not the real world, this world is a birth to the next world. Halavai, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that you should fear God the way you fear man, so you will refrain from many a sin. My thanks to Lisa Axelrod, who just sent this to me on Friday. I printed it up, and it's very, very powerful, and I'm going to share it with you. Right, see, I printed up. She took a picture. I think she said her daughter sent it to her, and she has sent it to me. I want to share it with you. I want to read it to you. I think she said it was from an old Bina magazine. I'm not sure. Okay, it's written by Arezi Shapiro. "You're all the same," Ruchi said, glaring at the taxi driver. "All you care about is how to squeeze the most money you can out of people." The driver's eyes darkened. "Must speak, Givaret." "I don't want your money. I wasn't born yesterday," said Ruchi. "This trip should cost no more than 30 shek." The driver turned towards the backseat. "You call me a ganav, a thief? I don't need you or your money. Just leave the car." As Ruchi slid out of the car, her indignation at being taken advantage of felt very strange, and she felt distinctly uncomfortable. She actually insulted the tough Sabra taxi driver who kicked her out of the car. The sensation gnawed at her sporadically over the following days. She replayed the scene in her mind. She vacillated between resentment against the driver and guilt over how she behaved. Eventually, the incident receded from her mind. Life went on. Life went on with all its experiences recorded meticulously in another world. When Ruchi's turn arrived, she stood before the heavenly court, observing the movie of her life. Each scenario was vivid and tangible, as if it had just occurred. And there was the taxi driver. She recognized him immediately. She braced herself for the scene which she knew would follow. How she longed to soften her tone and take back her words. Why had she been so sure of herself? Why then was she so self-righteous and judgmental? She was desperate to be close to the king. Ruchi was deeply relieved when the embarrassing scene ended. The clip, however, continued. The taxi driver left his next call after she exited his car. He arrived at the next stop. He waited impatiently until a harried-looking woman entered the taxi with her 9-year-old son. The boy had missed his bus. The boy had missed his bus and could ill afford another lateness. The mother splurged on a taxi and was escorting him to Cheder. "Givaret, who's paying me for the time I spend waiting?" said the driver. "You think I've nothing to do but wait around for you?" Ruchi froze from her place in the Olma MS. She knew it had been her nasty tone, her unfair accusation, that triggered the driver's temper to his next passenger. He arrived at the woman's house, demeaned and weary and worn out. She observed in horror as the scenario continued. The woman was exiting the taxi holding her son's hand. Her parting words as he entered the school were scathing. The scolding the mother received from the taxi driver amplified her stress, and her son paid the price. The next clip showed the boy sad and distracted in the classroom. A bright page of Gemara appeared on the screen. Where is the merit of the boy's Gemara learning from that morning? Who held back his focus? Why wasn't he motivated? The woman was seen at home on the phone, dissecting her morning. The breakfast she intended to serve for her husband was not ready when he arrived home. She had been absorbed in rehashing and bemoaning the harsh parting words to her son, the uncomfortable ride with the taxi driver. The breakfast slipped her mind. Her husband wasn't happy. The intense heat of Ruchi's shame in the next world singed her being. Yagidu la'adam masicho. At the end of the days, they will tell a man about his conversation. At the end of our sojourn, we will be shown not only the precise script of our conversation, not only the precise script of our actions, not only the precise script of the way we chose to behave, how we decorated the antechamber, how we traversed the hallway, how we brought provisions onto the ship before we set sail. We will also be showed the ramifications of the choices we made. We will be shown the cycles that our words, our interactions, our choices set in motion. Let us recall there is a significant sequel to the words we speak, because after part one, which is down here, we will get to see the far-reaching outcome of what we have done up there, with the enormous power of just one word. When you move to the Five Towns, my son and Mindy's son were in second grade. And I don't know if Mindy remembers, but Beryl was one of the first people, my husband always says, to make us feel so welcome, to make us feel so at home. Avi was having a birthday party. It was shortly after we moved. We were driving Ari back and forth to Brooklyn. Brown made sure that Ari would be able to stay. He called, he went out of his way. He was always welcoming to everybody. I have to value that this world provides us with the opportunity for Torah and mitzvos to pack as good as you can for the voyage we're about to sail on. Nobody knows how long we're going to get. We just read in Pirkei Avos on Shabbos, Al ta'amin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Do not believe in yourself until the day of death. But we must live every day as if it's our last. Just a little bit more. Just push a little bit more. Just do a little bit more. Just smile a little bit more. Just take one more phone call, one more cheerful word, one more positive outlook to set a positive cycle in motion. Because when we get up there, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there's nothing more I can do. And some people do live till 120, and they do not accomplish with the Arich HaShamim what some people accomplish with not Arich HaShanim, but the Arich HaYamim. They make their days wealthy. They make their days full. They choose to live every day as if packing for their eternal voyage. And when we look at the craziness of this world, and I'm talking to myself, the turbulence, the unknown, perhaps like me, you have some fear. It's a nechama to me to remember this is but the birthing process. And just like that newborn child goes through a lot of bumps and noises, it's not so clear. Can't see what's going on. And the birthing process itself is a painful, sometimes traumatic process. It's only to take us into a world that is full of light. No wonder Chazal call Mashiach the birth pangs, the time before Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, because this whole world is also to bring us to the time period of the Yemos Mashiach. So every action we do brings us a little bit closer to our portion in the Olam HaEmes Ad Me'ev Vesum Shana, and a little bit closer, Be'ezros Hashem, to the time period of the Bias Goel Tzedek. And if everybody is inspired to do one thing. Today we started the shiur on Beryl's actual yahrzeit, 7:30, it's not even Shkia yet. Everybody does one thing that maybe you wouldn't have done. Change one negative word into positive. Change one frown into a smile. Change one impatience to patience. In his memory, in his merit, that we have done something very positive. Tess, it's his ninth yahrzeit. The gematria of Tess is 9. And Tess is associated with Tov, because the first time it appears in the Torah, Bereishis 1:4, Vayar Elokim Esar Ki Tov. Hashem saw it was good. Tov is 9, Tess is 9. Tess is associated with Tov. And if we can somehow bring some Tov, some good, to the dark world, bring some light to the world, in his memory, in his merit, then certainly he is never, ever, not only by your family, Mindy, but everyone who knew him, literally, never forgotten. I am grateful that we were able to continue to learn this year together in his memory, despite physical distance. We could still learn. If everybody does one good thing, Tess 9, 9th Yertzai, Vayar Elokim Esar Ki Tov. If we do something positive to bring a little bit of light to this world, to our portion in the next world, and Be'ezros Hashem to the Yemos HaMashiach, then we have truly honored the memory and the neshama of Dov Ber Ben Chaim Arye Zichrona Levracha, and the neshama should find its eternal rest in the absolute perfect place in the Yeshiva Shal Emes. He and you, Mindy, should continue to have nachas, only tov, you should share b'turos tovos, and many simchas, tehei zichro barach. I hope everyone gained some sort of chizek. I thank you all for learning with me. We should share b'turos tovos, and the neshama should have an aliyah kol tov. Thank you to all.